Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there, and to those like myself that observe the solar calendar, good Shabbat to you. And I'm Pastor Steve. This is Word for Word here on Euroth Oak Radio. And today we will be starting in Exodus chapter 20. With verse 1, this is the chapter where the 10 words are given. That's the 10 commandments. And we're going to take all the time we need on this. This may develop into two shows because they have misrepresented and deleted and done a number of things with the commandments, and especially the Catholic Church. I will be bringing that up. And in chapter 19, he had prepared the people of Israel for Moshe to go on up on the mountain and he's going up and receive all these commandments. Everybody had to be cleaned ceremoniously, ceremonially. And wash their clothes. They were not to go up on the mountain. Only Moshe was going to go up. The priest could go up partway, but Moshe was the one that was chosen to go to the top to receive these commandments. So they said, let no one touch the mountain, neither no hand shall touch it, neither beast nor man. And I asked on Friday, what beast has a hand? Well, two-legged beasts, because the word beast was used as a derogatory term by Israel for non-Adamics that were basically slaves. And even though Israel was a slave in Mitzrayim, the slaves had slaves because they were considered less than human. That was taught in America early on, but then we became diversified. And they legislated that these beasts of the field would be equal to Adamites. Straightly against Yahweh's laws. So let's get started here. Chapter 20, verse 1 of Exodus. And spoke Elohim all these words, saying, verse 2, clearly identifies himself here. I am Yahweh Elohecha. That means your God, your divine being, which has brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the house of bondage. He identifies himself in verse 2 very clearly, makes no bones about who is speaking. And in verse 3, the commandments start. Now, I'm going to give you some information here. In your King James Version Bible and others, verses 13 through 16 are all verse 16 in the Hebrew text. And in my transliteration of the scriptures, I have them in the Hebrew word order. So there will be a disparity between the King James Version or whatever. They make them separate verses, which they are not in the Hebrew. They have messed with the word order here. 1st commandment, verse 3, you shall have no other Elohim before me. All right, that is a small e Elohim. It means divine beings or mighty ones. But there is only one supreme divine being, and that is Yahweh, who identified himself clearly in verse 2. No fooling around. Verse 4, this is commandment number 2. You shall not, Hebrew 3:8:08, make for you any idol. 6:4:5:9, or any likeness, Hebrew 8:5:4:4, of anything that is from the sky above, or that is from the land beneath, or that is from the waters below the land. Verse 5, same commandment. You shall not bow down, 7:8:1:2, to them. To prostrate yourself, genuflect, or do anything else, you shall not do this. I'm going to get into that in just a minute. As soon as I finish this verse, you shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. 5:6:4:7, because I, Yahweh Eloheka, am a jealous, 7:0:6:7, L:4:10, visiting, 6:4:8:5, the iniquity, 5:7:7:1, of the fathers, 1, that's Ab, upon the children unto the third and fourth, and I put generation in here in italics, for clarity, but it is not in the Hebrew. It just says the third and fourth of those that hate 8:1:30 me. That's a stipulation. The iniquity of those that hate me. People that are against Yahweh. Verse 6, same commandment, number 2. And showing loving kindness, 2:6:1:7, to thousands of those that love, number 157, me, and keep 8104, to keep and observe and obey and do. That's what that word means. It has a number of meanings. My commandments, 4, 6, 8, 7. Chapter 2 is against idolatry of any sort. Commandment 2, rather. The Catholic Church has deleted this commandment because they say that the Pope is the vicar of Christ on earth and has the authority to change the scriptures. Because what you have in the Catholic Church is idolatry. Statues everywhere. The statue that's in the Basilica in St. Peter's Cathedral is a pagan god. It is not a Christian symbol. It's a pagan god. And they put it there to placate the pagans when the Universalist Romish Church brought them in. The statue of supposedly Mary that they pray to and genuflect to is the Queen of Heaven that the pagans poured out drink offerings and made little cakes to. Pagan. That statue in that basilica there, they had to replace its foot because the Roman Catholics would kiss that foot and caress it, and over the centuries they wore the foot off from bowing and kissing below this statue. And the Virgin Mary has been deified by the Romish Church, and they pray to her. But they're not praying to Mary, they're praying to the Queen of Heaven, which is what that statue is. And they called it by a different name. The statue in the Basilica is a statue of Jupiter, the god Jupiter. And then they say that's St. Paul. But it's a statue of Jupiter. This is paganism. And the Catholic Church has given authority to their Pope to change the laws of the Bible. They say he is indeed divine himself now. The Catholic Church changed the day of worship to the day of Saul Invictus, the invincible sun worship. They instituted Ishtar Sunday for the goddess of fertility. The sun god is Mithra, the ascension of Mithra at that time. Yule, okay? Ishtar was the consort of Mithra, that means his lover, but she was also his mother. Can anybody say Oedipus here? They don't tell you that. But they've slipped that in into Roman Catholicism. And we wonder why we are being punished for apostasy today, because how many white people are Catholics? They're leaving in droves, this is true. There's nowhere in Scripture that says a priest may not be married. It even speaks against it in the book of Revelations, that they forbid marriage, but yet their Catholic priests and nuns are celibate. But how many nuns have children in the nunnery that are raised in secret by these Catholic priests, and how many of these Catholic priests are pedophiles and prey on the young altar boys, and the church has covered it up? Even when it's exposed, all they do is transfer that priest, the homosexual, the sodomite, to another parish so he can prey on new young boys. Give him a fresh crop instead of casting him out of the priesthood, defrocking him. They send this queer someplace else, and they pay hush-up money to the family. So from what I've just said so far, you can sort of gather my opinion of the Romish Church and why it is called the Great Whore in the book of Revelation. The Pope has a mitre, which is the hat of Dagon, the pagan fish god. And all the other cardinals and stuff also wear one of those, the hat of Dagon, the fish god. And on his mitre is Vicarius Filii Dei, the vicar of the Son of God, supposedly. But if you add up those Roman numerals of that saying, it comes up to 666. Surprise, surprise. 666, the number of a man. Thus saith the word of Yahweh in the book of Revelation. They have paganized all this worship. And the daughters of Rome that called themselves Protestant churches are no longer Protestant. They're following along hand in glove with these pagan holidays and pagan rituals. Some of them are doing baby baptism as the Romish Church, which is unscriptural. They have suppressed and destroyed countless documents that would expose their lies. Countless, countless, countless. They still continue in that. They are idolaters. If you bow to a statue and genuflect or light candles in front of it or pray to it, regardless of what they call it, it is an idol. And it is forbidden in the second commandment. Thus saith the word. Amen and amen. Commandment number 3, verse 7. in the Hebrew. You shall not take up or lift up. 5375. The name. Number 8034 in your Hebrew. Of Yahweh Elohecha, Yahweh, your divine being, in vain, 7723, worthlessness, or a light cause, something frivolous, or an unjust cause. That word vain means worthlessness. Because Yahweh will not hold him guiltless. 5352, innocent, guiltless, that takes up or lifts up his name in vain. That is a major offense. This is commandment number 4, beginning at verse 8. 8, 9, 10, and 11 are all commandment number 4. Remember, 2142, the day of the Shabbat, 7676. That's the day of cessation from work, or rest if you must, to keep it holy. 6942. And they're working out in the hallway and hammering. So if that comes through, I'm sorry. I can't do anything about it. Verse 9. 6 days shall you labor. 5647. And do all your work. Now, this kind of work means that which you do to earn a living. Preparing food and things really should be done on the preparation day, and you sort of keep them warm on the stove, because you're not supposed to kindle a fire on the Sabbath day. That comes later. That's not part of the 10 words. That's another commandment later on. I'll get to that. Verse 10, but day the seventh, that's the Hebrew word order, is the Shabbat of Yahweh Elohecha. In it you shall not do any work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, your male servant, 5650, nor your maidservant, 519, nor your beasts, 929, two and four-legged, nor the sojourner, 1616, the ger, that is within your gates. In other words, if you have a guest, they are not allowed to work. If they're staying at your house, they're not allowed to do this either, because they've come under Yahweh's laws, being within the gates of an Israelite. Verse 11, because in 6 days, yomim, that can mean six periods of time, ages, in Genesis, it translates much clearer, as ages, 6 ages, because in 6 days Yahweh made the sky and the land, the seas and all that is in them, and rested, 5117, on day the seventh, wherein blessed, 1288, Yahweh, the day of the Shabbat, That's spelled Shabbath. The T-H is sort of a lisping T. Shabbat. Not Shabbath. That's not how it's pronounced. It's Shabbat with a th at the end. And set it apart. That's one word. 6942. Shortly after this, when we get into another chapter and even other books, it will show that in the early days, if you were a Shabbat breaker, you were to be stoned to death. That's the import that Yahweh put on his Shabbat day. It is a holy day to be dedicated to him. Commandment number 5, verse 12. Honor 3513, your father and your mother, so that will be long your days upon the land which Yahweh Eloheka gives you. You are to treat them with honor and respect, and listen to their teachings, because if they were Bible-believing or Torah-believing people back then, they would give you good instruction. A lot of that has changed. Because fathers and mothers, in many cases today, are not honorable people. They don't raise their children. They're drunks. They're druggies. The guy comes home half blitzed and beats the wife up in front of the kids and beats on the kids. Or the wife, while the husband is out working hard all day trying to provide for the family, is fooling around with a milkman or whatever, you know, out committing fornication. Because marriage itself today has been dishonored. It is not revered as it was. It's not thought of as a life contract between two Adamites and Yahweh. Because Yahweh makes that marriage holy. And we are to behave in a holy manner and respect and revere. People marry just for sex, and when they get tired of having sex with that partner, they just move on. That's not marriage. That's a perversion and a defiling of the covenant of marriage. Now remember, 13 through 16 in the KJV are all verse 13 in the Hebrew text, and I am reading them as in the Hebrew text. Commandment number 6, you shall not murder. 7523, that's Turetzak. It doesn't say kill. Maweth, not death. It's Turetzak. That's murder. That's a premeditated laying in wait or killing for gain. That's murder. Doesn't say you shall not kill. That's another lie they put in. You can kill to protect your family, you kill in war, you can kill for self-defense. You can kill to stop harm or murder to be being committed on another person, you can kill in their defense. Like when a police officer shoots down one of these thugs that's attacking or raping a woman or something, and he shoots him, That's justified. Commandment number 7. You shall not commit adultery. 5003. Tina'af. Adultery does not only mean the sanctity of marriage. It also means making impure the holy seed line of the house of Israel, which is race mixing. That is adultery. It is adultery of, or making impure of, the holy seed line of Yahweh's chosen people. They don't teach that in the churches today, because it would hurt their collection plate. When you see a mixed race couple, even if they are married in one of these Judeo-Christian churches with a license from the state, that's adultery. You see a white woman with a black man, that's adultery. You see a white man with a black woman, that's adultery. Or with an Asian, or with a mixed blood, or whatever. That is adultery. That Adamite is committing adultery. He is making impure the bloodline of the house of Jacob Israel. Commandment number 8. You shall not steal. 1589. Defrauding somebody is theft. Lying for gain is theft. Going into somebody else's property and taking it is theft. You know what theft is. You know when people are being dishonest and defraud and lie and scam people. That's theft. Commandment number 9. They have changed the words in this commandment. This amplifies itself as I read it. It is much clearer in the actual Hebrew. You shall not answer against, that is 6030, to answer against, that's one word, another person, 7453, or your neighbor, or a friend. 7453 has multiple uses, but it means another person in context in this passage. You shall not answer against another person as a witness, 5707, of falsehood, 8267. In other words, if somebody bribes you to lie against somebody up on the stand, or if you're a police officer and you're going to lie and give a sworn statement against somebody to get them convicted because they have been inconvenient to someone in power in the community and they're urging your bosses to get you to lie about them to put them away so they can steal their stuff, you're a false witness. And police lie on the stand all the time. And legally, according to our laws, they are exempt from any punishment. That is against Yahweh's laws. Commandment number 10, verse 14. You shall not desire, 2530, They have it as covet, but in the Hebrew it means to desire. You shall not desire the house of another person. You shall not desire the wife of another person, nor his male slave, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, 7794, nor his ass, 2543, nor anything that is another person's. And this also has the connotation of taking action to obtain that which belongs to another person. When you put it into action, that's really worse. Verse 15. And saw all the people the thunderings and the lightnings and the sound of the shofar and the smoking of the mountain. And when saw the people it, they moved away. 5128. And stood afar off. Verse 16. And said they to Moshe, speak you with us, and we will hear. But let not speak Elohim with us, lest we die. Verse 17, and said Moshe to the people, fear not, for has come Elohim to test you, so that the fear, 3374, of him may be upon your faces, so that you sin, 2398, not. Now, 3374, fear can also mean reverence or awe of. And 2398, sin, means to miss the mark of duty or responsibility to observe these commandments. There are other words for sin, but this one means to fall short of the mark. Very specific in the Hebrew. They don't teach that in the churches either. Verse 18. And stood the people far off, and drew near Moshe to the thick darkness. One word, 6205, where was the Elohim? Ha Elohim, that is a designator as Yahweh, the Elohim, designated the one and only most high, ultimate divine being. Verse 19. And said Yahweh to Moshe, you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I talked with you from the sky. Verse 20, direct prohibition, going back to verse 2. You shall not make, 6213, beside 854, me, Elohe, small e Elohe, 430, that's gods of, or divine beings of, silver, 3701, Kesef, neither shall you make to you Elohe of gold, 2091, Zahab. No castings of little crosses with Jesus on them. Okay, Catholics. No rosaries with Jesus on your rosary, or Mother Mary, or any of that other stuff. Verse 21, an altar of soil, 127, Adama. The red soil of that Adam was formed from. An altar of soil shall you make to me. And shall slaughter, 2076, slaughter for sacrifice, specifically, on it your burnt offerings, 5930, burnt offerings is one word, and your offerings of well-being, not peace offerings, offerings of well-being, shalomim. It comes from the word shalom, that's true, with the connotation of peace. But your offerings of well-being is the idiom that is in the Hebrew, that is an idiomatic usage of 8002. Your sheep and your oxen, all clean animals, clean for sacrifice, acceptable. In all places where I cause to be remembered, 2142, my name, I will come to you, and I will bless you. Remember, they were not in Jerusalem at this point. They were out in the wilderness wandering. They were going to wander for 40 years. And every place they stopped, they were to build one of these altars and observe the Shabbat day. 22. It won't coincide with your King James. Not the verse numbers. This is the Hebrew verse order. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone, 1496, that's one word, hewn stone, that they use a metal tool on. Because if you lift up your tool, now I have iron here because it's implied. That's in italics to show that it is not in the actual Hebrew. If you lift up your iron tool, 2719, upon it, you have profaned it, 2490. Verse 23 in the Hebrew, neither shall you go up by steps, 4609, to my altar. So your nakedness, 6172, will not be seen, 1540, on it. Because they didn't wear drillies, okay? They wore these robes and they were like the Scottish with the kilts. And we just, you know, that's as far as we need to go with that. They weren't wearing anything underneath them. And if you went up the steps and he had that short robe on, well, peekaboo. I'm going to read in the chapter notes here because there's a lot of references. This chapter was not in the word order that's in the English transliteration, the text. that it was in the Hebrew word order. Verses 4 and 5, you can reference Exodus 34, 17, Leviticus 19, 4, and 26, 1, Deuteronomy chapter 4, 15 through 18, and 27, 15. Verses 5 and 6, you can reference Exodus 34, 6, and 7. Numbers 14, 18, and Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 and 10. You go back to 4, 5, and 6. That's all about idols. Now, I've hit on idols pretty hard. An idol is something that you bow down to worship. But if somebody carves a little thing of a horse or something, and it's decorative, and it's not for worship, that's not an idol. But we have other idols today that we worship. Mostly to do with sports. We revere and idolize some of these sports figures. If they've got 3 or 4 Super Bowl rings, the kids would kiss their foot. Oh, man, he's just so great. He's just Large Negroes playing with the ball does not interest me. I'm sorry. The sports are not white sports anymore. We're watching the beast of the field run up and down. And it's frivolous and it's useless. Movie stars. Movie idols. Literally, they call them that. Rock stars. The young girls running after these rock stars, and they would let them do anything they want because they have been idolized. An idol is anything that comes between you and Yahweh. Even your job. If you revere something more than Yahweh, or it becomes more important to you than Yahweh, so you neglect the Shabbat day, which is a commandment, it is an idol. And you need to put it away. That's one of the main things in our country today that's apostasy. I watched a video that David James posted of John Hagee, and he was predicting that all this drivel. And they showed the audience, and they were sitting there in rapt attention with worship in their eyes for that lying devil up there on that platform. They idolized him. They would do anything that he said. And there's a lot of them out there like that, where the people worship the pastor in these Judeo-Christian churches. Well, I got news for you, Israel. They are devils, and they are going to tell these congregations to come against us that teach the truth, Christian identity, to do us harm, because Scripture says they will kill us all the day long and think they do God a service. And if you think they won't, other white people come against us and cut us down because we teach the truth, they will follow these false pastors and do us violence. I'm warning you right now. Hear my words. Scripture tells us of this. A man's worst enemy will be those of his own house. The house of Israel. Other Israelites that don't know they're Israelites that are following these demons on the path, on the platform in front of them in their 501c3 Judeo-Christian apostianity will kill us at their command. Don't kid yourself. They hate us. They have been taught to hate us because they are Talmudized. In my area, if you speak against the King James Bible, they would try to kill you. That's not a joke. I'm not making a funny ha-ha. They will physically try to shoot you over that. In the mountains down south of me. It's a cult. How many other cults are out there? A lot of them. How many others will try to harm us at the suggestion of their Talmudic masters? Think about that. Verse 7 has to do with the frivolous use of the holy name of Yahweh. The name is always to be revered and used in worship, not used in a curse or casually used in a light manner. It may be used in discussion of Scripture, teaching of the Torah, praise in song, and in like manner. Misuse of the name was considered blasphemy. But the followers of the Babylonian Talmud have twisted the rules to include the physical removal of the name itself and substitute Adonai, Lord, for it. In Judaism, it is forbidden to be spoken. Yahweh never commanded this, but he did command reverent usage by true worshipers in the people of Israel. Reference Leviticus 19, verse 12. Verse 8, that would be probably 15 in the KJV. Exodus 16, 23 through 30 and 31, verse 12 through 14. And verses 8 through 11 clearly repeat the command to observe the Shabbat day. This doesn't include giving the authority to a man to change the Shabbat day to Sunday to bring sun worship in into a universal Catholic church. The Shabbat is not on Sunday. Sorry. Verses 9 and 10. Exodus 23, verse 12, 31:15 and 35:2 and Leviticus 23:3. And verse 11 is Genesis 2:1-3 and Exodus 31:17. Verse 12 is about respecting your parents. That's common sense. Reference Deuteronomy 27:16. Matthew 15:4 and 19:9. Book of Mark chapter 7 verse 10 and 10:19. Luke 18 verse 20 and Ephesians 6 verses 2 and 3. And adultery and killing and all of that, reference Genesis 9:6, Leviticus 24:17, Matthew 5:21, 19:18, Mark 10:19, Luke 18:20, Romans 13:9, James 2:11, and the adultery, Leviticus 20:10, Matthew 5:27, Luke 18:20, Romans 13:9, James 2:11. And we get to the other stuff. Leviticus 19:11, Matthew 19:18, Mark 10:19, Luke 18:20, Romans 13:9, Exodus 23:1, Matthew 19:18, Mark 10:19, and Luke 18:20. Verse 14, reference Romans 7:7 and 13:9 and Deuteronomy 5:21, and that ends the commandments. Verses 15 and 16 reference Hebrews 12:18 and 19. And verse 22, reference Deuteronomy 27:5-7, and the book of Joshua, chapter 8, verse 31. So that ends chapter 20 today, which is the 10 words, or 10 commandments, as you would have it. I have covered a lot of the deletions. And again, the molestation of the scripture by the Romish Catholic Church. So, at this time, I will bid you good Shabbat and Shalom Aleichem. And I will see you tomorrow here on Eurofolk Radio. And we'll take up with chapter 21 of Exodus. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus